Bible says this about encouragement. And Paul was writing to the Romans, and he said, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." You know, faith encourages faith. Your faith, by being present in a worship service, can encourage someone else's faith. Just by your faith of being here. Maybe by having faith to speak a word to someone in obedience to God, or to just lift up a prayer for them. And so I want to encourage this morning that faith does encourage faith. And that's kind of one of the things I'm going to be talking about this morning. Is I'm kicking off a series in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to spend the next several weeks in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be talking about some things there. But today is just going to be an introductory to the series. It's really going to start next week. And so I want you to remember that faith encourages faith. Okay, so faith is important. If you would turn to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be looking in chapter 1 today, which again, as I said, today is kind of an introductory to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is kind of divided into two primary parts. Chapters 1 through 3 tell us what we have as spiritual blessings needed for the Christian life. And then in chapters 4 through 6, it tells us how to conduct our lives by using those spiritual blessings. And so today, as I said, I'm going to kind of introduce the book of Ephesians. And here's what I want us to see in our first point. As a Christian, if you're a Christian, for your life to be pleasing to God, your life has to be adjusted to Him in all areas. Your life has to be adjusted to Him in all areas. Now, that being said, I want us to understand that that doesn't mean just applying this principle to a single detail or a single behavior or action. It doesn't mean just focusing on one detail, like, say, a physical bad habit or language, addiction, lust, or a particular sin you struggle with. Because sometimes that can be a trap that gets our focus on one thing, while there may be several things or other areas of our life that need adjusting to God as well, to His principles and His desires. For instance, let me give you an example. We may be seeking Him in the area of taking care of our body. And maybe we're making progress in that regard. But we also may have relationship problems because of pride. Because of pride. And so if we're just hung up on taking care of our body and we're focused in on that, then we'll miss something that can be a root of a whole lot of other things getting us out of balance, which pride can be. Pride can be the root of several things in our life that can be out of order. Here's the point. God looks at the big picture. God looks at the big picture, and here's what He does. God measures the big picture of our life on the basis of Jesus. God measures the big picture of our life on the basis of Jesus. In other words, He just doesn't look at that one sin you struggle with and measure your life by that one thing or that one weakness you may have. He looks at the big picture. He measures our whole life, and He doesn't compare you with someone else, another person. He compares you with Jesus. He compares our life with Jesus because that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to compare our lives with Jesus. Because you see, if Rudy compares his life with mine, Rudy might say, well, I look pretty good compared to Leonard. But then if he compares his life to Jesus, you see, it brings things into perspective. God measures the big picture on the basis of Jesus. Look in chapter 1 and verse 9. Ephesians 1, 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him, Christ. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Here's what he's saying here, and I want us to look at a couple things in a second. God wants to bring all areas of life together as one big picture. He wants us to be Christ-like, and that means growing and maturing us in all things as one in Christ. Because that's his purpose. That's his purpose and his will for us. In verse 10 there it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times. Dispensation means divine appointment or divine order. And so what Paul is saying there is, in God's timing, in his appointed time, he wants to bring it all together. Bring it all together as one. And you know, that's what he's doing right now. On the earth, in the universe, he's slowly bringing things all together as one. But we need to be playing a big part in that. We need to be a significant part of that. We need to be coming together as one in him, in Christ, because that's his purpose. Why? Look at verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. This is why he wants us to adjust our whole life, all areas of life, of our life, to Christ. So that we will be to the praise of his glory. So that we'll be to the praise of the glory of God. So that our life will be to the praise of the glory of God. It'll be lived to the praise of the glory of God. It will be seen to the praise and the glory of God. God wants to bring it together. He wants us to be Christ-like to the praise of his glory. And there's something significant there we need to understand. His glory, not ours. His glory, not ours. There's a lot of preachers of the gospel today that are seeking their own glory. They're saying, they're doing some good things. But when you look at it in the big picture, it's not just to the praise of his glory. It's to man's glory. And that doesn't work with God. If we're going to live to the praise of his glory, then we have to adjust our life. Our life has to be adjusted to him in all areas as a whole. Not just the areas that are easy for us, or come easy or natural. And this area over here that I want for myself, just because I want it, it's not getting adjusted to God. You know, that doesn't work. It hinders and it prevents your life being to the praise of the glory of God. To the praise of his glory. So, recognizing what we have. That's what I'm talking about today. Recognizing what we have. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? What? Every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenly places. Where? How? In Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We're in the heavenly places. Everything God has, He's blessed us with. Every spiritual blessing, every spiritual thing He's blessed us with in Christ. In Christ, and that's the key. God's given us all the spiritual blessings in heaven by giving us Jesus. See, when we receive Christ, all the spiritual blessings that God has are made available to us through Jesus. Key here, through Jesus. Not through how much scripture I can memorize, not through how many times I'm at church, not through how good I am, not through how good I pray or how strong I pray. Every spiritual blessing is made available to us through Christ. Amen. We got to go to Him to get them, to receive them. It's not something we work for and earn. It's those spiritual blessings are what we receive through a personal, active relationship with Christ. Amen. But here's the deal. Here's the catch. We have to make adjustments. We have to make adjustments in our life to recognize what all those spiritual blessings are. And one adjustment is spending some time reading this. How are you going to know what His spiritual blessings are if you don't read about them, if you don't receive them through understanding and knowing what they are? I mean, we're not puppets on a string, and we don't just hang here and waiting for God to put the blessings in us. We have to receive. We have to recognize them. We have to take time to find out, God, what's your spiritual blessing that I need in my life to adjust my life to you? And in those spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing is found in the Word. It's found in the Word. It comes through Christ. It comes through Christ, imparted by His Holy Spirit. But it comes through Christ, and it's found in His Word. This is not going to be on the screen, but I just want you to listen to these verses because it was just a whole lot to put up there. Verse 4, if you're following and your Bibles are on your electronics. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, there it is again, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, there's a lot found in that passage right there. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, some people, predestined people say, well, it's good to go. He chose me before the foundation, so I'm good to go. No, He chose us. Our destiny is in Christ, but our destiny is not reached unless we step into that destiny and receive that destiny through salvation, through Christ. But I want us to look more at what we have. And the reason that He has predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters is that's what He wants. That's His desire. That's God's purpose and will being put out there, shown to us. His will, His desire for us is that we are adopted into His kingdom, into His sonship and as daughters and sons and daughters. But it says in verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. That's the first thing we have in Christ, is redemption through His blood. Redemption of our sins. Redemption of our messed up lives, of our hang-ups, and all the things that trap us and bind us. Then we have forgiveness of sins, which comes right along with, as part of that redemption. We have redemption, forgiveness of sins. According to what? The riches of His grace. We have His grace. And it's only because of His grace that we have redemption and forgiveness. Okay? So we need to get a handle on what we have in Christ. Even as Christians, once you've received that redemption and forgiveness, I think sometimes we don't understand the richness of His grace. The richness of His grace. I think this past week my e-letter, Heartbeats, was on, spoke about the richness of His grace and what makes it so rich. And if you haven't read that, take time to go to the website and read it. Or you may have it hanging in your email somewhere. It's probably in your trash mail. Just kidding. I hope you don't send all my e-letters to your trash. He said He makes this grace to abound to us in all wisdom and prudence. There's something else we have. He gives us wisdom and He gives us prudence. How? Through that developing, ongoing, active relationship with Him. That day-to-day communion and communicating with Him and just listening to Him. So there's a whole lot that we see just in this first chapter of Ephesians that we have. I want you to look at verse 13 and 14. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. Notice how that's repeated? It's a repetitive thing. That's what our lives are to be, to the praise of His glory. So here's what we have there. Look at, again, there in 14, 13 and 14. Verse 13. What do we have? The word of truth. In Him you also trusted after you heard what? The word of truth. You see, the word of truth. We hear the word. We receive it. We trust it. We have redemption. The word of truth is the next thing we have. We have the word of truth. You see, the word of truth is what speaks to our hearts. What speaks to our spirit. The word of truth is what the Holy Spirit uses to convict us of our need for Christ, to convict us of sin in our life, to convict us of what is truth, to reveal truth. And then the other next thing we have is we have a guarantee. We have a guarantee. Who is the guarantee? He's speaking of the Holy Spirit of promise, because we just read earlier we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 14 he says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance? You see, the Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance. We have an inheritance. Sons and daughters have an inheritance by the virtue of their place in the family. Well, it's the same thing with God. God uses the same design because God designed the family. In God's kingdom, when we're adopted through redemption, we receive Christ, God adopts us as His son or His daughter. Hey, we're His son or daughter. Then we are guaranteed an inheritance. Amen. Not from earth, not from the world, but from God. Amen. God's inheritance. We get to inherit everything that God has for us. And this is what we have. It's guaranteed. We have a guaranteed inheritance. You know, on this earth, we don't have a guaranteed inheritance, do we? There's no guarantee that, I mean, what we're going to receive here on this earth. But in heaven, to come, we have a guaranteed inheritance. Look at verse 17 in your Bibles. I don't think it'll be on the screen, but he says that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And then verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand. Here's something we have. We have His power at work in us. Not only do we have a guaranteed inheritance, but we have His power at work in us. We have His power at work in us. Go ahead and pop that up, if you will. That last point. God says He gives us the spirit of wisdom. Look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You know, when we have the word of truth and we use it, when we connect with Christ, when we sit with Him, when we spend time with Him, we get spiritual knowledge and spiritual understanding. Understanding that's different from this world, from the world's understanding, from the world's wisdom. We get the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, He says. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He imparts a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know what's right and what's wrong, so that we can know what's of God and what is not of God. Amen. Because you see, there's a whole lot of things being preached, and there's a whole lot of this word being twisted that's not of God. And without that spirit, that spiritual wisdom, and that spiritual understanding, you can buy into it. You can believe it. And it's not truth. But more than that, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? When you believe in Christ, when you put your faith in Christ, when you become a Christian, when you're born again, faith is imparted, that faith builds, that faith begins to grow as you begin to grow spiritually. God imparts His power in us. God imparts His power in us through the Holy Spirit. His power is imparted toward us, in us, and through us. And that's something we need to realize what we have. Here's the awesome thing about that. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's not, oh, that was this great, awesome power that raised Jesus from the dead, that God just went, whew. And so the power He imparts us is just this little bump. No, it's the exact same power that raised Christ from the dead that He imparts toward us and in us. Same power. And see, that's one thing Christians don't recognize. We don't recognize the power we have. Or we don't operate in that power because we don't connect. We don't adjust our lives to God so that that power can flow. You see, as awesome as that power is, we can block that power. We can block that power from our lives. Because if you're not connecting with Christ, if you're not receiving the Word and reading the Word and understanding the Word and using the Word, if you're not listening to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, those are all the ways and the channels that that power is imparted to us. But if we just come to church, listen to Pastor Leonard or Pastor Bill or another, whoever's speaking that Sunday, and say, okay, I'm good, I got the power. No, you don't. Because the power doesn't come from me. It comes from the Word. But that Word won't get you past today. You got to stay in the Word. You got to stay in His presence. You got to stay in His presence, stay in the Word in order to have that power flowing. And when you disconnect, from God, you go off and do your own thing, and you don't give Him the time of day, boom, you block that power. That power is not going to flow. You see, God's not a light switch that when you, man, I need your power today, God. Nope, doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. And that's what He's trying to tell us. So, let me recap what we've said today. God measures our whole life. Worship team, would you come up? Listen here. I'm just going to run back over what I've just spoken to you the last 20 minutes. God measures our life on the whole, not one isolated event or issue. You got that? Do you believe that? Some of you believe that. Some of you don't, because there's some people here, I know, that are struggling with issues in your life or an issue. And so what happens is when you don't understand that God measures your life as a whole, then you let that one issue define you. You let it define who you are. And that's not what God wants. That issue is not to define you. He wants you to adjust your life so you can overcome that issue. But He wants you to understand that your life is measured as a whole. Because we all, now here's a surprise to some of you, we all have issues. Should have said that at the beginning so y'all could relax. Everybody's got junk in the trunk. And somebody say, no, well, let me go open your trunk and show you a few things. God measures our life as a whole. Here's the other thing I talked about. We have every spiritual blessing, and they're available in Christ. As, listen to me, as we engage in a personal, daily, active relationship with Him. Key, personal, daily, active relationship with Him. We've got every spiritual blessing available to us. We're to live our lives to the praise of His glory. That's why we need to take God's Word and adjust our lives to it so our lives will be lived to the praise of His glory. What else do we have? We have the Word of Truth. The Word of Truth. That's the plumb line of everything else. Everything in this life, everything in the Christian's life, everything in the world is measured by the Word of Truth. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of Truth, then it's not truth. We have a guaranteed inheritance. We have an inheritance that's coming. It's called eternal life, if you're a Christian. And we have something that's really good for this life that makes it all possible. We have His power working in us. We have the availability of His power working in us. Let's pray together. As you think about what you've heard today, as you compare your life today, as you compare your life to Jesus as God does, do you see adjustments that need to be made in your life as you sit here today? Do you see adjustments that need to be made in your life as you sit here today? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about right now? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about right now? How are you going to respond? How are you going to respond to what God has shown you this morning about what you have available in Christ and what your life looks like as a big picture, in the big picture of things? And then the last question I want to ask is, do you have the most basic and needed thing in life? And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you put your faith in Him as your Lord and Savior? Because if you haven't done that, you don't have any of these things I've talked about this morning. You don't have any of those things available to you because they only come through Christ. And so if you're sitting here today and you've never honestly, from your heart, put your faith in Christ, I encourage you to do that today. Right here, right now. Because without faith in Christ, there's not a whole lot left in this world that means much. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of temporary things that give us temporary feel goods, temporary satisfaction, temporary happiness. But they don't last. They're fleeting, and you're constantly chasing them because they're fleeting. But Jesus, faith in Christ, brings a stability, a joy, and a peace that no matter how many storms come, those things can't be removed from your life because Christ gives them to you, the redemption and forgiveness. And we all need redemption and forgiveness. Every human being that's born needs redemption and forgiveness because we're born into sin. So this morning, would you be honest enough with yourself? Because God already knows. If you need Christ in your life, would you just talk to Him right now? Speak to Him. Say, Lord, I need You. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I need redemption. I need eternal life. When this life is over, there's only heaven and hell as destination. And I desire my destiny to be heaven. So I place my faith in Jesus Christ right here, right now. Give Him my heart. I trust Him with my life. And maybe you're a Christian here today, and God's shown you some things you need to adjust. I had some people share with me before the service some adjustments that they've been making in their life. And I can just see the joy in their face from just some adjustments they've made in their life, adjusting their life to God's desire. Christians, do that today. Commit yourself to Him today to adjust your life to Christ. That's our only comparison, is to compare ourselves with Him and allow Him to make us more like Him. Father, I thank You for Your word of truth. I thank You for Your power that is at work in us. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit who reveals to us, brings revelation and wisdom, revelation of who Christ is, wisdom of the truth, and is the channel of Your power in our life. Thank You, Father, for Your word and Your spirit that gives us all we have through Christ and in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in heaven and on earth. So God, we praise You today. We thank You today for the opportunity to worship You together, to come together where faith encourages faith. And so I pray today, God, that You would increase faith in this place today. Increase our faith. Increase our faith in who You are. Increase our faith to trust You more with our life, with every area of our life, with our relationships, with our finances, with our careers, with our work, with our homes, with our children, with our spouses, with our families, with our friends. Help us, God. Increase our faith through Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we come to honor You with our tithes and our offerings. We thank you for the opportunity to do this. We demonstrate our love for you and our trust in you through this act of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.